Okay, welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you are just after joining us. Coming up very shortly, stay right where you are. We have Community Garda information for you, where Garda Grania will be joining us with the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Síochána before you see them anywhere else. So stay tuned for that. That's live. Don't forget you can watch that also. And at around about 10:30 too, we'll have coverage of an emerging, quite disturbing story coming out of Buncrana. Some footage that we've been forwarded of, which appears to be a very serious attack on refugee accommodation. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up, and it is something that's going to end up being a really big story nationally. This I would be very surprised if it isn't, given the nature of the footage that I've seen. But we're just fact-checking a few things, obviously, before we bring that to you. But as I say, the eyes of the country, if this turns out to be what it appears to be, are going to be very much focused on this part of the world, I would suggest.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, it is Tuesday the 16th of May, 10:15, and it's time for the latest edition of Community Garda Information, and we're joined in studio by Garda Grania Doherty. Grania, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Good morning, Greg.
Right, a bit to get through, so we'll get straight into it. And an appeal for information in relation to criminal damage in Lisfannan.
Yeah, so this incident has been subject to quite a lot of media coverage over the past number of days. So Gardaí in Buncrana, they're investigating a criminal damage incident. This occurred at Lisfannan, Buncrana, on Thursday the 11th of May. So at 11:45pm, Gardaí were alerted to the fact that a building was on fire at that location, and of course the fire services attended the scene. They managed to extinguish the fire. Thankfully nobody was inside or hurt. Substantial damage was caused to the building itself. So this fire is believed to have been started deliberately. We appeal to anybody who has a dash cam and who may have travelled on the main road into Buncrana from the Derry direction, the R238, or indeed within the general area off Ludden, Lisfannan, on the 11th of May between 11pm and midnight, to make that footage available to Gardaí. Just drop the footage into the station and the Gardaí will look after it from there, go through the footage. And we appeal to anybody who observed any suspicious activity in that area on the date in question between those times. We would like to hear from them, no matter how small or insignificant they feel that information might be. We'd like to hear from them. So any relevant information can be forwarded to the guards in Buncrana on 932-0540. And as always, the Garda Confidential line can be contacted on 1800-666-111.
Okay, now criminal damage in Letterkenny this time.
Yeah, so this criminal damage happened at Leck Cottages there in the Old Town area of Letterkenny on Saturday the 13th of May. So at approximately 11:10pm or shortly after that, Gardaí had received reports at that time that there were a number of youths, three youths was the report that we received. They were throwing bottles at houses in that area, at the windows at the houses. So unfortunately, the window of one of these houses was broken and it had been struck by a bottle. So when the Gardaí arrived, the youths were gone. So we're just appealing to residents in that area, road users in that area, anybody who may have seen these three youths in that area on foot, if they can provide an accurate description or any description of them indeed, or if anybody was in that area with a dash cam who thinks that they may have captured these three youths on foot, we would ask them to contact us also in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Okay, and sticking with criminal damage, this time two instances in Dunloe.
Yeah, so these two recent acts of criminal damage within the same area, actually very close proximity to each other, these two incidents. So between 6pm on Tuesday the 9th of May and 10am on Thursday the 11th of May, damage was caused to the door at the community centre in the Cushlocka area. So the door handle was broken off. No access was gained to the building. And then between 11pm on Wednesday the 10th of May and 7am on Thursday the 11th of May, a resident in the area of Cushlocka heard a bang during the night. In the morning then, they discovered that a small hole, it's quite unusual, a small hole had been pierced or made in their front door, but access wasn't gained to their property either. So we're appealing to anybody, the Cushlocka area, Dunloe, if anybody seen any sort of suspicious activity in that general area between Tuesday May 9th and Thursday, May 11th, to make contact with Gardaí in Milford on 9153060.
Okay, and Karen Donna this time, another incident of criminal damage.
Yeah, these Gardaí received a report that a resident in the Ballylosky Road in Cairndonagh, they had left their bin out, as we all do, for collection. The night of the 9th of May, their bin was left out for collection the following morning. So on the morning then of the 10th of May at 6:15 a.m, the neighbour came in and woke that resident to say that her bin was on fire at the roadside. So the bin was totally destroyed as a result of this fire. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled on the Ballylosky Road between 5:45 a.m. and 6:15 a.m. that morning, who had a dash cam, or anybody who might have noticed anybody on foot or any activity that seemed untoward on that road, on the Ballylosky Road area, to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540.
Now, Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating an assault that took place on the 14th.
Yeah, and unfortunately this is quite a common style of an appeal. You know, every week we have assaults of some variety, unfortunately. So this week's no different. This assault occurred at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, in the early hours of Sunday, the 14th of May. So in and around 3 a.m. to 4:45 a.m. this happened at Lower Main Street. One man is believed to have been assaulted by another man at that location. This man sustained injuries, none of which are believed to be life-threatening in nature. We ask anybody who may have witnessed this assault at Lower Main Street to contact Gardaí and Letterkenny on 9167100. And as always, again, dash cam footage is sought. So if anybody travelled down Lower Main Street who had a dash cam, we'd appreciate if they would contact us also and make that footage available to us.
OK, investigations into a road traffic collision in Dunfanaghy continue.
Yeah, so Gardaí, you're investigating this road traffic collision occurred in the area of Kildara, Dunfanaghy, on Sunday the 14th of May. This happened in around 7:30 p.m. So a driver had been travelling on a local or a back road or a local road between Kildara and Dunfanaghy when an oncoming vehicle, a silver Volkswagen with a possible partial registration of 08SO, struck their vehicle. The driver of this Volkswagen didn't remain at the scene. They travelled onwards. The collision occurred near to where the pump house is located. So the area in which the collision occurred is approximately 3 kilometres outside Dunfanaghy in the area of Kildara. So we're appealing to road users again with a dash cam who may have travelled on that stretch of road on Sunday past between 7:15 p.m. and 7:45 p.m. to make the footage available to Gardaí. If anybody has any relevant information in relation to this incident, they can contact Gardaí in Milford on 91 53060.
All right, it's a busy week next week because it is Community Engagement Week and a lot happening.
Yeah, so National Community Engagement Week. So Monday starts Monday the 22nd and ends on Friday, May 26th. So again, in Garda Síochána, we're partnering up with the Irish Farmers Association and the Department of Justice Ireland and other key stakeholders from the National Rural Safety Forum. And this is an attempt to strengthen community engagement across Ireland. So throughout next week, from the 22nd to the 26th, events will be held nationwide across Donegal and also nationwide for residents just to meet with their local Gardaí, to learn about rural safety, crime prevention and security techniques, and for them to discuss issues that are important to them. Just a meet and greet, really, if they want to come in and discuss any issues that they have or want advice. So there are daily themes. You know, each day has its own theme, and these themes are focused on the theme of rural living so that we can help ensure that people and communities in some of the most rural parts of Ireland are all feel and are kept safe. So each day there's a theme, as I mentioned already. So Monday the 22nd, the theme for that day is community safety. The theme for May 23rd is road safety and pedestrian safety. May 24th, burglary and theft. May 25th, personal safety and well-being, and May 26th, farm and rural security. So stands will be held across Donegal at various locations, you know, at marts, at shopping centres, just various locations. And we will be posting those locations to our Facebook page also, so people are aware of them. Property marking will also take place now as part of National Community Week at Clonlea Co-op in Newton Cunningham. That's on Friday, May 26th, between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. So everybody's very welcome to attend that, and make sure just that you bring your correct air code with you. Make sure that you have the correct details with you before you attend for that. And there's actually other, just took a note before I left, I was aware that there's other upcoming property marking events this week. Ballyshannon Mart has a property marking event on the 20th of May, and property marking will take place at Glenties Market Hall on the 18th of May also. We have the details of those events on our Facebook page, and they're also on the Donegal PPN Facebook page.
And just in relation to the Facebook page, maybe it's worth reminding people that it's a fantastic resource that you maintain down there for spreading information out there and what have you. But it is not a contact point in the event of an emergency, Grania.
It's not, and actually we posted to the page last week in relation to this.
That is why I mentioned
it. Yeah, yeah. No, and look, everybody's more than welcome to message the page. There's no issue whatsoever. But really and truly, the intention behind the message posted to the page last week was the fear is that somebody may feel that that's a method, you know, in which that they can report if they need an urgent Garda response. They need to ring the station
directly.
It can't
be monitored 24/7.
The page isn't monitored 24/7. It's checked in on, you know, regularly, but not 24/7. So if they need an urgent Garda response, if it's an emergency, contact 999 or 112, or contact the Garda. The district headquarters are all open 24/7. Like Letterkenny is 9167100. Buncrana is 9320540. Milford is 9153060. And Ballyshannon 0719858530.
Mm-hmm. There you have it. Okay, well done. I wouldn't have undertaken that off the top of my head. But
no, well, I started it out and I thought, can I remember them all? Can I remember them all?
Brilliant stuff. Okay. Listen, a couple of questions, if you don't mind, that came in over the course of the week. A listener asked, if you have a blue badge for disabled parking, do you need a ticket for parking?
Right. Well, the quick and easy answer to that is no, you don't have to pay for parking. But the parking permit enables the permit holder, you can park in the designated on-street, the parking bays for disabled parking, free of charge. That's for an unlimited duration unless otherwise stated. So unless there's a sign there to say otherwise, you can park in a disabled bay, a designated bay, free of charge for as long as you like. Generally, all street parking places, so any public, you know, street parking places or local authority car parks provide parking at no cost to the permit holder. There may be time restrictions in place in certain locations, so it's important to check that before you park up if you're going to be there for a lengthy period. And just it's important to note also for any permit holders, just the scheme doesn't cover private car parks. In practice, the majority of private car parks do recognise this disabled parking permit as the basis for eligibility to park in their disabled parking spaces. But if you're going to park in a private car parking place, just check beforehand to make sure that, you know, payment may be required if it's a private car park.
Yep.
So just double check that beforehand.
Them. They normally observe the rules, but they might have a different rule in place.
Each car park can have their own rules, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Could you ask Garda Grania if they know why pedestrian crosses with traffic lights have two lights on the right-hand side and one light on the left-hand side? This is similar in Northern Ireland. I'm just curious as to why there needs to be two on one side. Never spotted this myself.
I never spotted. To be quite honest with you now, and I'll put my hands up to this one had me stumped. And I'm going to be totally honest. No, but I went and I checked. It wouldn't really be a Garda issue. You see, it's more a matter for the roads department and the council.
But I did
endeavour to try my best to find out an answer to this. But I would ask that listener to please contact me if there's a specific crossing that they have in mind that they're referring to, if they wouldn't mind getting back to the station or contacting me at Letterkenny Station, because curiosity, as I say, kill the cat. And I'm curious now myself to know which crossing that they're referring to. And I would like to answer their question also. I have tried my best to provide them with an answer. I'm not familiar with the type of crossing that that there would be two
Maybe
lights on the right-hand side.
And send it in. Okay,
even send a picture in, because I will do my best. I will find out an answer for them if I'm familiar with which type of crossing that Very they good. Are referring to.
No problem at all. Right, a big night coming up on May 18th.
Yeah, well, it's lunchtime, actually. It's during the day, yeah. So it's
nighttime somewhere, Grania.
The Donegal Youth Awards, Donegal Garda Youth Awards. So the ceremony will take place at Ingrainn Theatre in Letterkenny on May 18th. So it's 12:30 that day. They have to be at the theatre. So the overall winners will be announced on that date. They will then go on, as they do every year, to represent Donegal at the national level, which we excel in every year, so we expect no less this year, no pressure, no. So every young person who was nominated will receive a certificate, and we really wish we could declare them all winners. It's so hard each year, and I don't judge the winners, by the way, but I can understand. I go through each form when they come in, and it's a very tough job.
So it's very encouraging. We have amazing young people, don't we?
We do, and look, at each person has, they've all achieved great things in their own way, and they all deserve recognition, so look, we look forward to meeting all these young people at the ceremony with their family members, and also to meeting those who nominated them, because they were invited to attend also. Mm-hmm. So we will announce the results on the Facebook page on Thursday after the event.
Exciting.
Let you know who the winners
Brilliant.
Are.
Okay. Enjoy. That's in the afternoon. Okay. Garda Grania Doherty, as always, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. That was Community Garda Information. It's back live with you after 10 o'clock next Tuesday, and you'll be able to rewatch it on our Facebook page and on Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on. We'll be back with more after the break. Okay, yeah, welcome back to the show. How are you keeping this Tuesday morning? I hope you're all very well indeed. A wooden bench has gone missing 3 weeks ago. It's from the front of NHS building in Ballybuffet. It's brown in colour. There is a reward offered for its safe return. Anyone can contact NHS in Ballybuffet with any information, just to say on stay on the appeals theme there. Still loads of you messaging in as it relates to Father Paddy's being moved from Kilmacrenan to Ballyshannon. Lots and lots of you. A caller says it's not right for people to try and say to the bishop, or else it's wrong of people. Okay, I'll get to back to those, because I do want to welcome onto the programme now Councillor Jack Murray. Good morning to you, Jack. Thanks for taking the call today.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. Just during the Community Guard information, we had an appeal as it relates to an arson attack on accommodation earmarked for Ukrainian refugees, and it would appear that last night there was another attack on refugee accommodation. What, as far as you've been able to determine, happened?
My understanding is that between 11:15 and 11:30 last night, a firecracker or some form of firework was thrown towards a window at the Flanagan's site on the shorefront of Bunkrana, which is obviously extremely dangerous. There's men, women and children in there. Should have went in the window, it could have set the building on fire, and the consequences of that would have been absolutely devastating. So I want to take this opportunity to condemn that in the strongest terms possible. Whoever's done this, the video footage that has already gone viral on WhatsApp, it's circulating. Whoever's done this is not reflective of the people of Bunkrana in any way. They're not acting on behalf of the people of Bunkrana, and they need to be condemned in the strongest terms possible. But I do think, and this is something I've been extremely fearful of for some time, that people in this community that have concerns, that have been voicing them for some time in regards of doctor spaces, school spaces, and raising legitimate questions, are being met with radio silence. I've been working with my colleague, Deputy Paddy McLaughlin, and both local and national politicians are getting no information whatsoever. And I think the radio silence from government level on this is allowing for anger to fester to the point that it's spilling over the gap. And I've been flagging this for a while, and I've been very, very worried.
Even if people are upset, Jack, with what's happening,
it doesn't excuse it.
There's at no point should it ever, even with radio silence and vacuums created by government, there is no point that this should get to the point whereby someone throws a firework at a building that could have set that building on fire. It could have gone through the window and blinded a child. That's not who we are, is it? As I say, we can contend with government, and we can protest, and we can get out in the streets and have our voices heard, and rightly so. But it should never ever come to this, should it?
No way. And you see the footage, it's one young man that you can see, quite grainy footage. He does not represent the community of Bunkrana, the good people in Bunkrana who've done so much for charity, for the community, for the wider. It's despicable. As I said, prior to the Flanagan's centre being opened for refugees, I would have been speaking to local community neighbours in the area who are concerned about fire safety in that building. That's one of the concerns I would have raised in the past. So to think then that a firework, which is supposed to be a small explosive, but was thrown at that building, the potential of that could be devastating. Now, these are men, women and children who've been through a life journey that none of us will ever understand, none of us will ever be able to compare it to. And for whatever anger people have at government, and there's legitimate anger at government, it should not be taken out on these people. These people should be allowed to live in peace in the only accommodation that they've found safe for a long time. So definitely, there's legitimate concerns. We need to work to address those legitimate concerns, but this is not the avenue to take at all. And I condemn it in the strongest terms possible.
What is an appropriate response now? We've seen one premises set alight. We've seen effectively explosive devices thrown at another. What is an appropriate response? What needs to happen now in terms of, I suppose, reassuring these people that they're safe, or to engage with those that are concerned? I don't know. I'm struggling to some extent to try and contextualise this. But what?
It's a difficult thing. Two things need to happen anyway. The Gardaí obviously need to investigate in the fullest both incidents, because there will be criminal investigations and they need to see that through. But that's what I'm highlighting, the point about government. This wall of silence needs to be lifted. People need to be reassured. People in the local community who are decent people that have concerns, they need to be quelled and addressed. And because the more silence that is met with this, the more people feel that they're being dumped upon at times. That people will get angrier and it's more likely to spill. So I think there needs to be a bit of leadership from government level at this point. Come and talk to people, explain what's going to happen, and don't allow a vacuum for misinformation to continue to spread, because that's where the real danger of this spilling over. And it's a concern I've had for months now, and unfortunately I've never seen it come into reality. So I do think there needs to be leadership at a government level just to step in and try and calm this down before it gets worse. We've seen what's happened in Clare last night. We've seen what's happened in Dublin, and its potential to spark all over the state. So people need to stop being treated poorly as well, and they need to be told exactly what's happening in their local community. And if there is a need for additional resources, then additional resources need to be given to these communities.
Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate you coming on with us. The owner of this centre is Christopher Flanagan. Christopher, what happened? Christopher, sorry, I beg your pardon, Christopher. I had the wrong line up there. So tell us what happened.
Sure. I was just going to bed myself last night, and I got a text from one of the residents to say that the centre had been attacked with a firework. Initially, my reaction was just kind of a misdemeanour of somebody just messing about, you know, but I obviously went down to view the CCTV footage, and when I saw it, it looked pretty bad, you know. It looked almost like he was holding a petrol bomb, only for the fact that we knew it was a firework after the fact. But the most disturbing thing about this is that person threw that firework at it with a trajectory aimed at one of the top windows to get it in an open window.
The trajectory
was to get it in a window, because if they were aiming for the front door, you probably haven't seen the video footage, but the trajectory is no, sky high, aiming up in the way up, not in a kind of a horizontal direction, which is what you would do to throw it at someone's front door. But I mean, this has been a long time coming. This project, I started it in October last year, and by about December, a local guy in the town started a Facebook page which was drawing attention to the fact that refugees were coming to the town. And
I just want to be really careful here, Christopher. If you don't mind, I'm going to stop you there, because it's very possible that the way you're going to describe it, and you might have this view, Christopher, by the way, and so I hope you really understand where I'm coming from, but the way you're about to describe this might be an identifiable individual, and then we could end up linking it to this. So do you mind if we just park that line?
Yeah.
And is that okay?
Well,
if that's okay.
To keep it in generalities, then, we had a direct threat on Facebook to have the building burned down in December, and we reported it to the guards. We had another threat on Facebook to have the building burned down in February, and we reported it to the guards. We had a direct threat to burn the building down in March, and we reported it to the guards. The refugees arrived on the 31st of March, and there was one person standing outside with a camera phone watching them come, and reported that it was all men. It was an army of men had arrived in Bunkrana, like a call to action almost. Couldn't have been further from the truth. It's all women and children. There's very, very few men. And I had deliberately asked for it to be that way because the area lends itself to women and children and families. So now there's in the centre, there's about 50 people in the centre. There's a couple of pregnant women in there. There's a newborn baby in there. There's two small toddlers. So you can imagine, when we got up this morning, they're all traumatized now. They don't feel safe in Bunkrana. They're asking us, is it safe here? You know, we're telling them, of course it's safe, you know, that it was just a firework. But it reflects terribly on Bunkrana what has happened, because the people that were talking about on Facebook, they put the message out that they had nothing against families. But the incitement to hatred over the last 3 months, 4 months, has been so bad that it has driven one of these young fellas to do this. And standing there
but
in the video...
But I just want to say, Christopher, I understand what you're saying, but I'm sure the argument will be made, okay, that they're expressing concerns about government policy in terms of putting people into certain areas and would not in any way condone this level of action. And I can understand if you feel that one thing has led to another, but I'm sure they'd very clearly say that they aren't against people as such. It's just how it's being done with a lack of public consultation. And I understand where you're coming from, Christopher, and I hope
the only problem with that argument is that everything they've said on Facebook has been mistruths. They have lied. They've told lies from the very beginning,
okay,
that an army of men had arrived and trying to incite anger in the town, which was a lie. It wasn't men, trying to say that the building had no fire certificate, which it did. And they made it out that it was a cowboy effort.
Okay.
There was just lies after lies. Somebody said there was an open sewer main that the sewers can't handle the people. You know, and it wasn't. We were building wheelchair ramps as part of our conditions for our fire certificate.
What next, Christopher? You've said that you've been able to, you've tried to reassure the people living there that they are safe.
Yeah.
You have had, by your own testimony there, a lot of abuse off the back of this, right? That's going to grate on you. I mean, you're in a contract, I presume. What's the story?
The personal abuse I can handle. What's very difficult is talking to a young mother at midnight who is terrified. You know, how do I say to her, look, I've been living in Buncrana for 46 years. It's a safe town. There's no harm going to come to you. How do you convey that to somebody from another country? You know, these people are absolutely lovely people. You know, they're desperate for work. A lot of them have taken up jobs in the local community already. You couldn't meet nicer people, but some of them are coming from, in fact, quite a few of them are coming from very traumatized backgrounds, very, very traumatized backgrounds. In fact, we had an article in the paper to try and highlight that, to try and diffuse the hatred that was out there, you know. But even that, like, there's a woman in the center here, right? And her husband and son were shot dead at mass in Nigeria, and she fled and ended up in Buncrana. Now, the replies that came on Facebook were, well, why did you bother coming to Buncrana? Why did you go somewhere else? That's the kind of hatred that's in Buncrana at the moment towards these people. This is a Catholic Christian woman who fled Boko Haram in Nigeria. Her husband and son were shot dead while they attended mass, and she was in the local markets, you know. So, and she's lost her daughter in transit from Nigeria to Europe somewhere along the way and across the Mediterranean. It's a real tragedy, you know. And she cries every day, and we said we're going to put together an effort to try and find her daughter. She's lost her daughter. I lost her entire family, actually. You know, to be sitting in a centre in Buncrana and have somebody then attack that centre at night time, I mean, what does that say about Donegal or Buncrana? It's unbelievable. And the person who threw it is wearing a local football jersey. So that reflects terrible on the football club too.
Okay. But you're going to continue with this with this project, Christopher, I take it, to house these people.
Well,
you're not going to be discouraged by this.
As I said from the very beginning to a lot of the local residents and anybody who asked me, I said, this is a temporary project. I said, my mum and dad live across the street from us. I said, I go to work every day in the same area. I was never from the very beginning going to fill this place up with an army of men, as the locals like to say. I never had that intention, and I stand by those words, you know. I didn't see the harm in it. The government put a call out looking for accommodation desperately, and I had a building sitting there doing nothing. The pandemic had pretty much killed bricks and mortar retail. It all went online. So you have a building sitting there that used to be called the Sailor's Rest back in the First World War, and I thought, this is a good use of it. Put it back to its use, what it was back 100 years ago during the First World War. And in a time of war, here it is yet again, holding people, offering accommodation to people, you know. Mm-hmm. The centre is first class. We're making it more and more comfortable as every week goes by for the local residents there. The children in the centre love the local area, you know. They go to the local boxing club, they go to the football club. And to be quite honest with you, there's a lot of people in Buncrana have been very receptive of them. People started giving donations from the moment they arrived. There's people who have brought them into the local exchange there to teach them English. You know, there's been a good reception as well, but there's a fringe element which is extremely dangerous. And I keep telling the guards that this is really, really dangerous if it's not stopped, you know.
Okay, Christopher, thanks for your time this
morning. And I understand people, services are stretched. I found myself in Letterkenny Hospital there a week ago. I had a slipped disc in my neck, and I was in the same situation. The services are completely overstretched up there. But the reality of it is most of the people up there are not foreigners waiting to get operated on. When I was up there, it was all Irish people, you know. So to turn around and say 50 people in Bunkrana have overstretched the services and made it unbearable.
I think people are talking about maybe getting access to a GP service or school places. But I understand the point you're making, Christopher. Thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. Christopher Flanagan there, who is the owner of that accommodation, which was attacked with a firework last night. Christopher of the View, that there was an open window and an attempt was made to get that firework through that window. He says it could have been a major disaster and is appealing for this behaviour to stop. 0860 25000, WhatsApps and texts that number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. This is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes, and lots of people texting in on various subjects. Right, I'm going to... A caller says, please stop with the Ukrainian refugee narrative. It's a smokescreen for illegal refugees and asylum seekers from Albania, Somalia, Sudan and countless other countries. 95 of them, young men. Enough is enough, but not in that accommodation that we were just talking of there. Now things have just got extremely dangerous in Bunkrana. Centre attacked last night. 50 people, mostly women and children, sleeping there last night. It's an outrage, believes a listener there, and more coming through all the while. Just whilst we line up our next guest, more commenting on the bishop's announced changes to the parishioners of Kilmacrenan and Father Paddy's departure, which is a great loss. Sometimes we can wish that we could resurrect the past and stay with the present, but the reality is that people and situations change and we have to adjust our thinking and practice to present realities and respond positively to the challenges we now face. Another, do not allow the work of well-respected Father Paddy to be lost with threats of non-attendance at Mass. This action would undo years of building a strong Christian community in Kilmacrenan. Father Paddy's work is well recognised. Perhaps it's time his wonderful way be shared in other areas needing his input and support. Okay, Kim McMenamin is a member of Bunkrana Community Watch. Good morning, Kim. Thanks for joining us. Kim, are you there? You are?
Hello? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I get you now. Right, okay. So you're a member of Bunkrana Community Watch. Now, I'm not familiar with Bunkrana Community Watch. What is it, Kim?
It's a group on Facebook of a group of people who got together who are really concerned about the mass immigration that's going on. And, you know, they're concerned mostly about that, you know, under the banner of Ukrainian refugees, that other people from other countries are coming in, like mm-hmm. from Somalia. There's no war there. There's no war in Georgia. And there's no war in Albania. So there is this in surge of economic migrants, if you want, who are leaving their country because they can come here and they can get, you know, payments. And they're promised everything. Like O'Gorman has advertised in, I think, 6 countries, maybe 7, to come to Ireland and you'll get a front door. Come to Ireland, you'll get money. Well, the money's okay. But in actual fact, these people are coming here. They're being warehoused in disused factories and buildings and hotels. Office cubicles not fit for purpose. And these people are treated inhumanely. And they're being warehoused and moved around the country. And that's akin to human trafficking, moving people all around the country just for profit. There's no other reason. Just for profit.
And how convinced are you, Kim?
There are genuine refugees.
Yeah,
genuine refugees. Don't get me wrong. There are genuine ones.
How convinced are you that these people aren't fleeing oppression or threats of violence? How do we know that these people aren't?
Well, we don't know for sure because they're coming in unvetted. Like, they are totally unvetted. Like, we have reports that they tear their passports and their documents up on the plane mm-hmm. and land at Dublin Airport, and they have no documentation. They just say they had to flee and they get into the country unvetted. And a lot of them, if you look on YouTube, or I can send you links, there's loads and loads of documented evidence that a lot of these people are criminals, a lot of them, and they've committed serious crimes.
But if they don't, and if they don't have any documents, Kim, how do we know they're criminals?
Because they got caught in Ireland, in Dublin, and they've been fined, sentenced, and the Irish government gives them self deportation documents. They don't get deported when they commit a crime. They're told to deport themselves, which is kind of ridiculous. But they, apart from that, the infrastructure is not there to bring these people in, right? So there's no extra guard, no extra teachers, no extra classrooms, no extra doctors, no extra nurses, no manufacturing or construction jobs, no houses, no rental houses, no council houses, no mortgages, no accommodation for MICA victims. So there's absolutely nothing here, even for Irish people. There's nothing for the Irish people. That's why our youth are exporting themselves to Australia and things like that.
So do you believe we should stop? Inflation? Do you think we should stop all immigration now at this point? Is that what you're feeling?
Well, I think when a country's not fit to do it, when there's no money, like the money, the inflation rate has gone through the roof because of the pandemic payments. And the money printing, and I mean, it's got ridiculous. There's a quarter of a million homeless, and these are known as couch surfers. These are young couples who are living with relatives who can't get on the housing market, can't get a rental.
Now, obviously, Kim,
there's no Airbnb.
Yeah, I get you. There's like, a ton of them. As I made inquiries with the guards recently, regularly, asking, had there been a particular problem with migrants in terms of crime or any increase in crime or what have you? And the Gardaí said to me that they've had no, not to me personally, to the programme, you know yourself, they said that there's been no peak in crime or assaults or robberies or whatever that they can that they link with the people that have moved here. So is it possible that maybe in terms of talking about unvetted males, military-aged males, and we talk all about that, that maybe, you know, that it's a perceived threat, the threat isn't there, and we could be whipping up fear and tension and aggravation that could lead to serious instances, Kim? Is there not a bit of responsibility that we have to show? And I'm not saying to you, I mean all of us. Do you know what I mean when we're having this conversation in our, you know, out and about in private and what have you?
Yeah, well, apparently the crime rate's up by 75%. I've seen a post there last night in Ireland. So whatever you're hearing from the guards is untrue. And tourism's down by 50% because there's nowhere for people to stay. Like, I know that there's a place in Buncrana at the moment, and people who used to stay there can no longer stay there. And people like Airbnbs, they like the privacy of it, and they can't get into hotels because they're always booked. Mm-hmm. So now the ordinary person on the street, the person in the restaurant, the person in the pub, they're all going to suffer.
Okay.
So the government's throwing this on the people and without any consultation. Like, there's been no local consultations with people.
No, well, that's policy. I mean, you might remember when there was the controversy over Maville. This is nothing new. We've been doing this for absolutely years. It's not like anything has actually changed as such, really. You might remember the incident in Maville. Not the incident, when people were to be moved to Maville, it was made very clear at that time that there is no consultation with local communities. It's not policy. But I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying we shouldn't be surprised there's no consultation because they've announced that there won't be any. But finally, Kim, obviously we're speaking off the back of this apparent, what appears to be an attack on this Flanagan's accommodation in Buncrana. I know in your comments here you're saying you condemn that behaviour. Is that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just in the last minute we have, what's your response to the that action that we saw last night?
Everyone totally condemns that. Like, nobody has the right to take the law into their own hands. And look, during the Troubles in Northern Ireland, of course, it was a perfect place for psychopathic people and violent people to vent their anger, is join an organisation and go out and do that. So we totally condemn any violent act and anything like that, of course. And like, what decent person wouldn't? The issue isn't about that. That shouldn't happen. The issue is around, you know, the pressure that is putting on the local communities is unbelievable. I spoke to a lady a few days ago, and she could not get her child a place in the school, and she had her other two siblings in there, and she could not get this other one.
But did you hear Mr. Flanagan describe the plight of the people in that building? Like, I don't know, like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you would be, one of the key sort of anti-immigration voices in the Inishowen area. That's not an insult. I'm sure it's not something that you're ashamed of. Like, do you have a leadership role here to tone down the fear side of things a bit or whatever? I'm not making any accusations. I'm trying to cover text messages that might come in once you're not on air. Do you know that sort of way, Kim? So, like, do you...
Well, when you look at all the attacks and all the violence that's happening, especially in Dublin and the large cities, when you look at that, look, it goes unreported in RTE. So people look to the internet to get their news, and people know how to research. And there's all this thing about, oh, if anything's on the internet, it's fake. It is not. Everyone has a camera. Everyone has their own reporter. Things are recorded in real time, okay? And you can see the video footage. You can clearly see for yourself that this is real, and that the real news, if you like, is on YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, but that footage is not. I don't. That footage of the tents being burnt down in Dublin. I mean, I watched that unedited, and it's not pleasant, though, is it, Kim? I mean, it's not. I mean,
no, I'm not saying, but it's real. Like, you,
yeah, it's
like,
real, it, for sure.
You're really saying that, and I'm sure RTE did report that as well. But I'm just saying, there's loads of instances.
Oh, I get you. Where there's a rise in citizen journalism in this country, and a lot of people see that as their source of news, and I can see it only growing as things wear on. Kim, I have to head for the news at 11. Thanks for taking part in the show. Okay, have a good day. Take care. All right, that's Kim McMenamin there.